who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised, Jewish, took issue with him. What does that look like? Get over here. Took issue with him, saying, you went to the uncircumcised men and you ate with them? What did you have? Bacon-wrapped shrimp? And Peter just goes, it wasn't my idea. And he's just like, I don't know what happened. I'm still in shock. And he tells them the story. And I love Acts 11:18. It says, and when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. I love it. I guess Jesus is for those people too. I thought that Jesus was just for the Jews. Crud. I can't, okay, wow, this totally changes everything. You know, Rabbi, I was here yesterday with our Messianic congregation. I love it. Rabbi Feldman says, my Jesus is for you people too. Most people think that the Jewish people have Moses and the Gentiles get Jesus. It's not the case. Jesus is for the Jew first. They were actually shocked when they found out that the blood of Jesus works for you people too. And the Holy Spirit would come on you people too. See, all through the book of Acts, you see God moving and external persecutions and then internal conflicts all throughout. And God keeps on moving. And the internal problems, a lot of it was just cultural. They were prejudices that people had. Some of it was theological. They had theological problems. See, you people caused a lot of problems. For example, okay, if the Holy Spirit comes on you, do you need to become Jewish? What about the laws of Moses? Shouldn't you eat kosher? No bacon-wrapped shrimp for you. And this became a huge conflict in the early church, so much so that they had to have a huge council in Acts chapter 15. Are you saved because of the blood of Jesus plus doing the works of the law? Are you accepted in the eyes of heaven because of the blood of Jesus plus you eating kosher? Is it Jesus plus works? Or is it Jesus plus nothing? Is the blood of Christ sufficient for your sins? Or is it Jesus' blood plus you doing things? And the answer is Jesus plus nothing. Say it with me real loud. 1, 2, 3. Jesus plus nothing. It's his work on the cross, period. It's not your work. It's not what you do. See, this was, we look back on this now and say, this is the gospel. This is the good news. But they fought over this. How can this be? This is the book of Acts. There was God moving, saving people. And there was external persecutions happening from people all the time. And then God would move again. And then there'd be an internal problem. People would fight. And then God would move again, another persecution, and then another internal problem. This is all through the book of Acts. They'd fight about cultural things. They fought about theological things. Do you know that they even fought about personal things? Personal things. They were personal sometimes. There was this wonderful man named Barnabas. And as the church left Jerusalem and went to the biggest city in Turkey called Antioch, they sent him there. It's a city of 500,000 people. And the church is exploding. And as he goes there, he's like, you know, about 40 miles from here is Paul the apostle. I'm going to go get him and see if he'll help me pastor this church. He goes, gets Paul, and Barnabas and Paul are preaching to this big congregation in Turkey. And then finally, the Holy Spirit says, hey, you guys need to go on a missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas are like, let's go. And Barnabas says, hey, John Mark, come with us. And they go on their first missionary journey, and halfway through, guess what John Mark does? I'm out. I'm leaving. Okay. He went back to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas finish their first missionary journey. They go back to Antioch. Hey, man, everything's rocking. And then Paul goes, hey, man, let's go back and visit them again. And a couple of years later, he says this. And Barnabas is all, I'm in. And Barnabas goes, come here, John Mark. And what does the Apostle Paul say? He's not coming. He ditched us the first time. He's not coming this time. Why did he ditch us? People, they don't know. Was he homesick? Did he have struggling problems? Some people think that John Mark went to Jerusalem to write the Gospel of Mark. I'm really glad if that was the case, right? Listen to this. Acts chapter 15, 36 through 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. But Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. And they had such a sharp disagreement. Did you see that? Did you? Sharp disagreement. They parted ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Did you just read that? Here are two great leaders of the early church in sharp disagreement, heated disagreement, because Barnabas wants to give Mark another chance. And Paul says, uh-uh. I wasn't happy the first time he left. I felt abandoned by John Mark, and I don't want to take him again, and Barnabas does. And these are two godly people who love the Lord and are called to serve the Lord, and they got into a heated disagreement. It was an internal conflict recorded between two brothers in the book of Acts. Are you surprised? When the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers in the first century, they did not grow wings and start giving each other foot massages. They're real people just like you and me, on the same journey just like you and me. The book of Acts is our roots. And when you read the book of Acts and you really think about it, it's not just their story in the first century, it's our story now. Is God moving today? Is God moving in the 21st century? Is God still performing miracles today? I've seen some. I wish I would see more. I bet they wish that they saw more in the first century. Back then, they experienced external persecutions. Is the church today experiencing external persecutions? Answer? Ask our brothers and sisters in China now, in Iran now. Our kids in college now. Did you just read? There's a school district in Arizona that had a contract with a Christian school to do teacher training with this Christian school. Did you just read about this? And the school district in Arizona, the person that's in charge of the school district, who's a lesbian woman, says, do we really want these Christians coming into our school district and bringing their values with them that are contrary to the values of our school district? And so they canceled the contract with this Christian school. We don't want your students in our school. This just happened last week, and a lawsuit just was filed against this school district. Now, we don't want you people teaching children. You might bring your values. Is external persecution happening now? Answer, absolutely. Is God moving? Totally. Do you guys, what do you think of the Asbury Revival? Have you all heard about what went on in Asbury? A group of like high school or college students was in a chapel, and all of a sudden it went for 14 days. The students didn't leave the chapel. They kept singing praises and confessing their sins and worshiping the Lord, and it just went on and on and on. This Jesus Revival, this movie that just came out, speaking about the revival that happened back in the 70s. How many people got saved in the 70s because of the Jesus Revival? Raise your hand. There you are. There you are. There you are. Everybody that preached to me was a Calvary Chapel of Hawaii. Cousin Steve told me about Jesus, North Shore Christian Fellowship. Calvary Chapel Big Bear was the people that gave me my first Bible when I first got saved. I was the afterglow of that movement. God was at work. Is God moving now? Is external persecutions happening now? Are internal problems happening in the church now? Good people that love the Lord getting in sharp disagreements with each other? Does that happen today? I was talking with every week we do sermon prep, and Pastor Graham was telling the story about back in his church in Rhodesia, they got in a big argument over the color of the carpet. Two people that love the Lord got in a big fight over the color of the carpet in their church. I was a youth pastor here at this church from 92 to about 2004. One day I had a lady, her son was in the high school group, he was a senior, and he was walking away from Jesus. And she pulled me aside and told me, the reason why my son is walking away from the Lord is because I didn't sing enough hymns in the youth group. If I just had sung more hymns in the youth group, my senior son wouldn't be walking away from Jesus right now. Because there's magical power in hymns. Did you know that? If you sing hymns, as long as you sing How Great Thou Art, because that's what Jesus sung, right? If you then, and I didn't agree. Actually, the reason why he's dating a girl that doesn't love Jesus, and he's walking away, well, if you, she loves the Lord and I love the Lord, and I don't agree. Did you know that it happens now in the church that people that love Jesus will disagree? Pastor Frank, why don't you do the King James only? That's the only translation that should be read in the church, because if it was good for the Apostle Paul, it should be good enough for us, right? I disagree. It was a translation in the 1600s. There are better literal translations now. We fight. Well, we disagree. It happens. We have a Messianic Jewish congregation that's here. Their job, that what they want to do is they want to reach to the Jewish people in Irvine. If you want to come in and hear a Jewish individual who believes that Jesus or Yeshua is the Messiah, you come to a Messianic congregation here. And because that's so, in the Jewish culture, God is so reverent, you don't write God. You write G/D. You understand? Because God is so holy in the Jewish mind. And we knew this. So when we put the banners on the wall, we honored them. And they sang a new song. This is Revelation chapter 5, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for G/D. We put that in there to honor any Jewish person that would be coming into this room. We want to remove any barrier that we possibly can, so we can use the gospel to reach Jew and Gentile, because that's the church age that we're living in today. But there are people that come into the church and they go, why did you do that? And we tell them why. They go, you're compromising. You're compromising. Go in peace. I'll see you in heaven. The book of Acts is an awesome book. It's our book. It tells of our roots. It tells of what God is doing right now and what we should be doing, why we're here, our purpose. Go be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It's our book. It's our story. From Jerusalem to Rome, it's our story. And as you read the book of Acts, you'll see rhythms 2,000 years ago of God moving and external persecutions, God moving internal problems, God moving more external persecutions, God moving more internal problems. And it just doesn't end in Acts 28. It goes right into Acts 29, Acts 30, Acts chapter 275, because the book is still being written. You understand? It speaks of our roots, and it speaks of our fruits. Write this down. Write this note. It speaks of our fruits. Right? Last note. The book of Acts records our fruits. I was talking with a person recently, and he says, well, I go to a New Testament church, a book of Acts church. I asked him, well, what does that mean to you? Because I have no idea. I asked him, so do you guys collect all the money in your church and commune it all together? Like you did in Acts chapter 4, verses 32. You ever read Acts chapter 4, verse 32? All the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Is that an Acts church? Are we supposed to gather all your assets together? Is this? See, you guys, 120 of them are waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them. And all of a sudden in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls on 120 of them, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongues on the southern steps. 3,000 pilgrims see them. They were there for Pentecost. And then a couple days later, Peter's up on the Temple Mount, and he heals a dude. And he preaches again, and another 5,000 people are there. Now you've got 8,000 people that are pilgrims that came to Jerusalem, and they only budgeted to come to Israel, to Jerusalem for this time, but now they want to stay later because they want to hear what the apostles have to say about this Jesus and this Holy Spirit that's just come upon them. But they're out of money. What would you do? The 120 pooled all their resources together to help provide for these people so they could stay longer in Jerusalem. Barnabas sold a piece of property, gave it to the apostles. Why? Because this is what was happening. No, you don't see this all through the book of Acts. It was a one-time thing that happened once. Once. Nowhere else do you see in the book of Acts that they did this. Is this the fruits that you and I are supposed to do now? It happened one time. See, the book of Acts records our fruits. What are we supposed to replicate? As you read the book of Acts, what's supposed to happen? Look for repetition. Look for repetition. What's our fruits? Read the book of Acts. If something happened once, it's probably not for all of us at all time. Go and study the class. Afterwards, Mike's going to unpack this. For all of you that really want to jump in the book of Acts, go to the Sunday school class. Look for repetition. What is the fruits? Listen to this. Acts 1:14. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 15:25, it seems good to us, having become one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Paul, Barnabas, and Paul, right? See, the book of Acts all throughout records a oneness that happens within the body of Christ. A oneness that happens in the body of Christ. See, did you know that even, so remember Barnabas and Paul and John Mark got in an argument? You remember that? Did it stay that way forever? Did you know that at the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy, as he's in a Roman prison waiting to die, he says this in chapter 4, verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for his service." Did y'all read that? What happened with the Apostle Paul and John Mark? Did they fight the rest of their time? Did they become one of mind? They did. See, you can fight about secondary stuff. And they did. And we do. Pastor Vince, come here a second. Pastor Graham, where are you? Is Pastor Graham here today? There he is. Come here a second. I want to show you something. Hey, Sonny, come here a second. I want to show you something. Come here. Sonny's going, "What are you doing, Pastor Frank?" Come here. Come here. See this? Come here. Put your arm around him. Come on. There you go. Do you see this? This guy over here to my right, he was born in the Philippines. Did you know that his language is not Tagalog? It's not English. It's first language. He met Jesus in the Philippines. This guy to my left, he was born in Rhodesia. He asks me why I have an accent. My brother Sonny over here, he's the chairman of our missions department. He was born in India. Did you know that all of us have many things that we are not in common with? Our cultures are different. Our upbringing is different. Guess what we're united in? Jesus. This is the church. This is the mystery of the church right here. Do you see it? One in Christ. This is what the church is. One people. Jew and Gentile. I wish Rabbi Feldman was here. Because it's from the Jewish people. See, we're Gentiles. There's no Samaritans between us. And we fight. Pastor Graham says you should eat dessert first because life's uncertain. My mama told me that I eat dessert after I eat all my food. But we don't fight over that. We're one. Do you understand? Stand where you are. Stand where you are. Do you see? Stand up. There you are. There you are. Do you know that you're the mystery? All of you. Can you wave at one another and say hi to one another? Do you know what? All of us in this room have many different things. We come from many different places, many different cultures, many different foods we like and don't like. All of us are one in Christ. The centrality of Jesus binds us together as one. This is the fruit of the church. Do you understand? This is what it is. As you read the book of Acts tells the story of you, tells the story of me, tells the story of Jesus leaving Jerusalem and going to India with Thomas, goes down to Africa, comes over to North America, goes to the Philippines, and the gospel is spreading around the world today. This is what Jesus is doing now. This is the gospel. You all are called Acts 29. There's only 28 chapters in the book of Acts, but the back of book of Acts is still being written. Have you experienced the power of Jesus in your life? Yes or no? Yes. Have you seen the moving of God in people's lives? Yes, all of us up here have seen miracles. Literally. Sonny saw a baby raised from the dead in India. We've all seen miracles. God moving now. We've all seen external persecution. Some of us might be experiencing them now. We all might fight over the color of the carpet. You might think that the King James is the only one. That's okay. God bless you. That's a joke, by the way. The Apostle Paul didn't speak King James. Do you understand? He spoke Hebrew and Greek. Anyway, we agree to disagree. In the things that are essential, there's unity. In the things that are non-essential, there's liberty. But in all things, there's charity. Because of Jesus, it binds us together as one people. Tell me I'm wrong. This is an amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Jesus, we honor you and love you this day. We praise you, God, for you are at work. Lord, the book of Acts isn't just a book in the Bible. It's our book. It's our story. It's our story of you not moving just so long ago, but it's for us now. And Lord, until the day that you come back again, it will continue to be what's happening in our lives. Lord, we agree what it says in the book of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We agree what our disciples asked. Lord, how about setting up your kingdom now? We very much look forward to that, Lord. But until that day, between you ascending and you coming back, for the Spirit coming upon us and the day you remove the Holy Spirit, we're in the church age and you're at work. Lord, may we understand the book of Acts, and may all of us in this room fall in love with the book because it's our story. God, help us to embrace it and to celebrate it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, we're going to sing two songs. This first song is taken right out of Peter's sermon. Peter at the Southern Steps quoted Joel chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit would come upon the church. And so we're going to sing this song and the next song. And as we do, we want to invite you up. If anybody in here needs prayer, because we read that God moves. Maybe the Lord wants to move in your life today. Maybe there's something on your heart that you need prayer for. Pastor Vince is going to be up in the balcony. I know the Chows are going to be up there. I'm going to ask for the leadership team to come here that we might pray with you today. It says in the book of James for you to seek out the leaders of the church and ask them to anoint you with oil and pray over you. If you have things in your life you need prayer for, then let the church pray for you. So instead of you coming to the church on Tuesday, you can come up now and we'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray over you. Maybe God today will break chains in your life. Maybe God today will heal bodies. Maybe he'll set you free. God is at work. So I want you just to worship the Lord in these next two songs and praise him for all the good things he's done in your life. And if as we're singing these next two songs, if you see someone coming down and asking for prayer, would you just as a brother or sister in Christ say, God, I don't know what's going on with that person, but I pray that you would just help them today and reach them today. We worship the Lord. Signs and wonders from above.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes.